We continue Be'ezat Hashem in Masechet Ketubot. We are on Daf Yud Amud Aleph on the top line. This limud should be Le'ilu Nishmat Baruch ben Shlomo, Shlomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Sulika bat Chana, Esther bat Laticia, Et Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devora, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther, Chava bat Sarah, and Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also, לזכות רפואה שלמה for Gabriela Masuda בת שרה, פנינה בת אורה, and Chana בת סוליקה. Itamar, it has been taught, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who said in the name of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Chachamim tiknu lahem livnot Israel, Chachamim instituted for Benot Israel, for Jewish women, regarding their ketubah, Liptula 200, ule'almana mane, for a betula 200 zuz, and le'almana, the widow, the standard amount is mane, 100 zuz. Vehem, and Chachamim, who instituted the ketubah, he'eminuhu she'im amar petach patuach matzati ne'eman. On the other hand, Chachamim, who instituted the ketubah, they also trusted the Baal, they accepted his word, that if he says, Petach patuach matzati, he's ne'eman, he's credible, causing her to lose her ketubah. So the Gemara asks, well, if that's the case, imken, if he's able to be credible, to make her lose the ketubah, ma ho'ilu chachamim betakanata? So what did the Chachamim accomplish with their institution of the Ketubah 200 for the Betulah? What do they accomplish if he can easily just say Petach Patuach Matzati and he could cause her to lose it out? Amarava Rava says, Chachamim were not concerned that he's going to lie and to say Petach Patuach Matzati because Chazaka en Adam Toreach Vis'uda U'mafsida. There is a chazakah, there is a strong presumption. A person is not going to exert himself to prepare a whole wedding feast and then cause it to be lost just like that. To invest in the wedding preparations, I mean, that shows that the chatan has a mind to marry her and to be happy with her. If he does nevertheless claim petach patuach matzati, then we believe that he's saying the truth. Otherwise, he wouldn't lie and just throw all those expensive down the toilet. So, chazaka en adam toreach baseuda u'mafsida. Tana, we learned in a braita, ho'il u'knas chachamim hu lo tigbe ela min haziburit. The braita says, being that the payment of the ketubah is a knas of chachamim, knas means a penalty that is instituted by the chachamim, lo tigbe ela min haziburit. So she should collect only from the husband's land of the most inferior quality. There are three kinds of qualities of land. There is idit, that's the best. There is benonit, average. And then there is ziburit, the lowest quality. So now, to collect tuba, it's possible to collect from land that is held. So the Braita says, since the ketuba is a knas of chachamim, then the most she can collect from is from, she can get her 200 from the ziburit kind of land. Now the Gemara immediately asks, Knasa, a penalty? My Knasa. What's the penalty in the contract of the ketubah? A person has to pay the ketubah, that's something that he committed to, that's something that he promised, that's not a penalty. Ela ema, rather, it should be corrected and said like this, Ho'il ve'takanat chachamim hi, since it is a takanat chachamim, it's an institution of the chachamim, lo tigbe ela min haziburit. Her power to collect from karka, from land, is only from ziburit quality. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ketubat isha min ha-Torah. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, however, argues with the Tanakama of the Braita, and he holds that the payment of ketubah of a woman is an obligation not from the Takanat Chachamim, it's an obligation from the Torah. And therefore, being that it's an obligation from the Torah, she would be able to collect from Idit, from the best quality of land. So now the Gemara asks, Umi amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel hachi? Did Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel really say that the obligation of ketubah is mideoraita? Vehatanya, but we learned in a braita on the pasuk that is said in Parashat Mishpatim, Kesef ishkol kemohar habetulot. He should pay money according to the mohar habetulot, the dowry that is of the betulot. So the braita says, Sheyeheze kemohar habetulot umohar habetulot kaze. The Torah here is establishing that this, the knas that the Torah is talking about there, is like the mohar habetulot, and the mohar habetulot, the dowry of a betula, will be like this, meaning like this knas that the Torah is talking about, which is the 50 chamishim kesef. So mikan samchu chachamim liktubat isha min haTorah. The Braita continues and says, from here the chachamim based their words that the ketubah of a woman is an obligation of the Torah. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer, ketubat isha ena midivre Torah, ela midivre sofrim. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel openly says here in the Braita, the ketubah of the isha is not midoraita, it's only midivre sofrim, it's only midrabanan. So this is exactly the opposite of what we just heard in the name of Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Answers the Gemara, epuch. The way to resolve this stira is that you have to reverse the opinions in the braita. Meaning this braita that we just saw, that instead of saying Rabban Shimon Gamliel omer that ketubat isha is only medivre sofrim, it's the other way around. It's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel who said mikan samchu liketubat isha min haTorah, and the chachamim say that it's only medivre sofrim. So this second braita that we just learned, you have to reverse the naming, the opinions. So the Gemara asks, umay chazit de'apacht batraita, what do you see to choose to reverse the second braita? Epuch kamaita, why don't you reverse the first one and say that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is the one who holds ketubat isha is midrabanan and Tanakama is the one who holds it's midoraita? So the Gemara answers, you know why? We rather reverse the braita and make it that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds that it's midoraita because Hashamina le Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel de'amar ketubat isha min haTorah. Because we already saw, we learned in a Mishnah that Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel holds Ketubat Isha is Mideoraita. Which Mishnah? Ditnan, later on in our Masechet, and Daf Kuf Yud Amud Bet, it says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel omer notena mima'ot kapot kiya. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says that in a case where a man marries a woman kapot kiya, where the currency of kapot kiya is obviously more valuable, but he divorces her in Eretz Yisrael. So Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel says he has to give her the payment of the ketubah. He gives her from the money, from the currency of kapot kiya. So now, from the fact that he is obligated to pay the ketubah in the currency of the place where he actually took the obligation, meaning when he got married, so then that shows that ketubat isha is min haTorah, according to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. And now the Gemara will give a second answer to the apparent stira. Instead of saying epuch, the Gemara says ve'i ba'iteva, and if you want, kula Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel hi. Really, the entire second braita is the words of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. Ve'chasure michsera ve'hachi katane. The braita is missing words, and this is how it should be stated. Mikan, from the pasuk of Kemohar Betulot, from that pasuk, Mikan Samchu Chachamim Likdupat Isha Min haTorah. From here, Chachamim instituted that Ketubat Isha is Min haTorah, is Mideoraita. Ketubat Almana Ena Midivre Torah Ela Midivre Sofrim. However, the Ketubah that is given for a widow, which is not mentioned in the pasuk, it says Kemohar Betulot. So it's mentioning the dowry of the betula, but not of the almana. So ketubat almana is only midivrei sofrim, is only midrabanan. Sherabban Gamliel omer, because Rabban Shimon Gamliel would say ketubat almana ena midivrei Torah, ela midivrei sofrim. So the Gemara establishes that the opinion of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is the one who holds that ketuba is min haTorah, but according to Tanakama, meaning according to Chachamim, it's only midrabanan. And according to Maran HaShulchan Aruch, that's the halakha, that it's only midrabanan. That's why the nusach of the ketubah of the Sfaradim does not say dechazulechi mideoraita like by the Ashkenazim. The Ashkenazim go according to the opinion of Rabban Shimon Gamliel here, and the Sfaradim go according to the opinion of Chachamim that it's only midrabanan. That's why we don't write the word mideoraita in the ketubah. Now the Gemara brings a few cases that happened regarding Ta'anat Betulim. Hahu de'ata lekame de Rav Nachman. There was a person who came before the Bet Din of Rav Nachman. Amar le'petach patuach matzati. And he said, when I consummated the marriage, I found a petach patuach. She's not a betula. Amar le Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, asvuhu kufre. Give him malkut, flog him with kufre, with palm branches, with lulavim. Why? Mevarachta chavitale. What is this? Prostitutes are common around him? I mean, this person comes along and says that he was never married before. And then all of a sudden he's such an expert to know that he saw a petach patuach. How does he know that? How does he know petach patuach? Must be he was mizaneh beforehand. And therefore, asvuhu kufre, give him malkut. The Gemara asks, "V'harav Nachman hu de'amar meheman." But Rav Nachman, he is the one who said before that he's credible. When a chatan claims that petach patuach matzati, he's believed. The Gemara says, "Yeah, meheman umasvinan lekufa." Yeah, he's believed, but still we flog him, we give him malkut. Rav Achai meshane. Rav Achai, however, answers, "Kan bebachur kar benasuy." It depends. When is there malkut? If it's a bachur, a bachelor. So then he is not believed because he doesn't have the experience to know exactly what's petach patuach, and he gets malkut. Kan benasui, but rather if it's a nasui, if it's someone that was married before, so then he's ne'eman to say petach patuach matzati, and we do not give him malkut. So that's two ways of answering the stira in Rav Nachman. Hahu de'ata lekame de Rabban Gamliel. There was a similar case from an earlier time that came before the Bet Din of Rabban Gamliel. Amar le petach patuach matzati. The chatan says, I found the petach patuach. Amar le, so Rabban Gamliel told him, Shema hiteta, maybe you diverted your approach, and that's why you didn't see any petach patuach. Maybe you went from the side, and it wasn't direct, and that's why. I'll give you a mashal, a parable. To what can this be likened? To a man who was walking in the darkness of the night. He comes to the entrance of his house. So now, if he diverted, if he goes around the object that's preventing the door from opening, then he'll find it open. But lohita mitzaonaul. But if he does not divert, he will find it locked. So maybe you also diverted and you went around from a different angle, and that's why you didn't find petach patuach. That was the challenge of Rabban Gamliel. Ika d'amri, some say hachi amarle. Some say this is what Rabban Gamliel told him. Shema bemezid hiteta. Maybe you diverted intentionally, ve'akarta ledasha ve'avra, and you displaced the door and the lock. Emsholecha mashal, and this is the mashal he gave him. Lema davar domeh, to what is it similar? Le'adam shu me'alech bishon laila ve'afela, a person who's arriving at his home in the darkness of the night, hita be'mezid metza'o patuach. If he diverts intentionally, he finds it open. Lo hita be'mezid, if not, then metza'o na'ul, he'll find it locked. So in both cases, what Rabban Gamliel was telling this person is that there's no proof that his wife was mizaneh, and therefore he was not ne'eman to make her asura in these cases. Hahu de'ata lekamid Rabban Gamliel barabi. There was a case that came before Rabban Gamliel, not the same Rabban Gamliel as we just mentioned, the one who is the son of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. So the great-grandson of Rabban Gamliel. Amar le, so the chatan said to him, Rabbi, ba'alti velo matzati dam. I was bo'el with my kala, and I did not find dam betulim. Amra lo, Rabbi, betula iti. And now the kala is there, and she's saying, Rabbi, I was a betula. Amar lahem, so Rabban Gamliel said to them, havi oli oto sudar. Bring me that cloth upon which you consummated your marriage. Hevi'u lo hasudar, they brought it to him. Ushra'o b'mayim v'chibeso, and he soaked it in water, and he laundered it. U'matza alav kama tipe damim, and he found upon it several drops of dam beturim. Amar lo lech zeche b'mikchacha, go and take possession of your acquisition, which means she's a betula. There's no need for any concern. Amar le yuhunamar berederava miparzakia lerav ashe. Hunamar, the son of Rava from the city of Parzakia, told Rav Ashe, Anan nami devidhachi. We should also do the same thing and check and do this bidika to check when a person comes and says he didn't find dam beturim. We should also do this specific bidika to check and examine if it's true. Amar le, so Rav Ashe told Hunamar, he told him, Gihutz shelanu kekibus shelahem. The way for us to do kibbutz, to do laundry like they do in Eretz Yisrael, such as in the time of Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi, is for us to do our gihutz. He's saying gihutz shelanu ke kibbutz shelahem. Gihutz means ironing. Kibbutz is laundering. So now our gihutz, what they would do in Bavel was they would pass an abrasive stone over the garments in order to scrape off the dirt. That would be with the same power as the kibbutz, as the laundering that they would do in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, we would have to do that in order to check the garment. The only problem is, so if you say we should do that in order to check the garment and find out if there was dam, me'abra lechumalta. The problem is, the stone is going to remove any trace of blood. And therefore, this bedikah is not going to be effective, so we can't do the same bedikah that they did at that time in Eretz Yisrael. Another case of someone who came before Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi. Amar le, he told him, Rabbi, ba'alti velo matzati dam. I was bo'el with my kala, and I didn't find dam. Amra le, Rabbi, adayin betula ani. And she, on the other hand, was standing there, and she was saying, no, Rabbi, I'm a betula. Amar lahem, so he told them, Havi'u li shete shefachot, achat betula ve'achat be'ula. Bring me two maidservants. One, a betula, should be a virgin, and one should be a be'ula, a non-virgin. And he's going to conduct a trial here. Havi'u lo, so they brought him both, two shefachot, one betula, one be'ula, ve'hoshivan al pi chavit shel yayin. And he had them seated on the opening of a barrel of a wine. Be'ula rechah nodef. The one who was be'ula, he discovered that the scent of the wine in the barrel, nodef, is coming out from her mouth. Whereas betula en recha nodef. By the betula, he saw that the scent, the fragrance of the wine, does not come out from her mouth. So afzu, so they did the same thing with the kala, hoshiva velo haya recha nodef. She sat on the barrel of wine, and the scent of wine did not come out of her wine, of her mouth, I'm sorry, which proved that she was indeed a betula. Amar lo, and so he told him to the chatan, lech zeche b'mikchacha, go and take possession of your acquisition, which means there's no reason to be concerned. She is your kala, and she is a betula. So, venivdok meikara begava. Well, if Rabban Gamliel was familiar with such a way of examining, so why didn't he use this examination in the beginning? Which means, why did he have to first bring two shfachot and make a trial on them, and then he tried it on the kala that came before him? If he knew that there's such a thing, that the rule is that if she's a betula, the reach of yain is not going to come out of her mouth, then right away he should have told the kala, sit on a barrel of wine and we'll test you. Why did he have to first bring the first two shvachot? So the Gemara answers, Gemara havashami ale. Regarding this examination, he knew that this was effective only by tradition. Maase lo havachaze. He never saw it in action. V'savar dilma lokim le begava de milta shapir. So he thought maybe he's not sufficiently an expert in this manner of examining. He never did it before. He heard about it, but he never did it. So it would be a lack of derech eretz. It's improper to demean, to belittle a Jewish woman by subjecting her to indignity of this examination without being sure beforehand. So therefore, that's why only after he established that this method is effective by trying it with the two shvachot, then he proceeded to do so with this kala and to resolve the matter. Now the Gemara tells us of another case, Hahu de'ata lekameh de'Rabban Gamliel hazaken. A case came before the great Rabban Gamliel the Elder, who was the great-great-grandfather of the Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi, who we just mentioned. Amarlo, and the Chatan said before him, Rabbi, ba'alti v'lo matzati dam. I didn't find dam. Amralo, and the Kala was saying, Rabbi, mimishpachat durkati ani. You should know, I come from the family of durkati. She'en lahem lo dam nida v'lo dam beturim. They don't have any dam nida, any menstrual blood, and they don't have dam of beturim either. That's how it is in my family. Badak Rabban Gamliel bikrovotea umatzaki dvareha, and indeed Rabban Gamliel investigated with her relatives to determine whether this claim that she makes is true or not, and he found that the truth was according to what she said. Amar lo, so he told the chatan, lech zeche bemikchacha, go take possession of your acquisition. Ashrecha shezachita lemishpacha durkati, you are fortunate and privileged that you married a member of the durkati family. So, why? Because they never have dam nida, nor dam beturim, so they'll never pose a problem for you. So, ashrecha, you are fortunate. And in fact, in this name, Durkati, the Gemara says, my Durkati, what's the meaning of this family name? Dor Katua, a generation that is cut off from the normal way of women that see blood. They are cut off from that. Dor Katua. So that was a family that was known not to have dam nida or dam beturim. Amar Rabbi Chanina said, Tanchumim shel hevel nichamo Rabban Gamliel leoto ha'ish. Rabban Gamliel, he consoled that man with the consolation that was vain, because the absence of blood is actually something that is not good. He made it sound like it's a positive thing, but really it's not. The Tani Rabbi Chia, as Rabbi Chia taught, Keshem she'aseor yafe la'isa, just like leaven, seor, yeast, is very good for the dough, causes it to rise, kach damim yafim la'isha, so too dam is actually fortuitous. It's a good thing for a woman. V'tana mishum Rabbi Meir, and it was taught in the name of Rabbi Meir as well, kol isha shedameha merubin, baneha merubin. A woman whose blood is plentiful, her children will be many. So this kala that he had from the Durkati family, who did not have dam, is very possible that she won't bring children, or she won't bring many children. So it was Tanchumim Shel Hevel when he told him, Ashrecha. It's not such a Ashrecha after all. In fact, the Gemara now says, Itmar, it was taught that there was actually a machloket with regard to what Rabban Gamliel said to that Chatan. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba amar zeche bemikchacha amar le. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba said, like we learned, that he told him, go and take possession of your acquisition, which means he told him positive words. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin amar nitchayavta bemikchacha amar le. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin says, in fact, Rabban Gamliel told him, nitchayavta, it was a chov for you, it was a misfortune for you to take this kinyan. So now, Bishlam Aleman De'amar Nitchayavta Hainu De'Rabbi Chanina. So we understand, according to Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, who says that Rabban Gamliel actually told him Nitchayavta, so that's like what we just learned from Rabbi Chanina, because the lack of blood is not a good thing. El Aleman De'amar Zeche Mai Zechuta. But according to Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba, who said that no, Rabban Gamliel told him positive, Zeche Bemikchacha, it's actually fortunate for you. What is the Zechut? What's so fortunate about it? The Gemara says, well, there is a fortunate side to it. Delo atili de safek nida. He will never come to a situation of safek, whether she's a nida or not, which happens many times throughout life, where there are questions in ilchot nida, which he will never have to worry about, being that he married someone from mishpachat durkati. Hahuda atale kamed rabbi. Now we learn of a case that came before Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Amar le Rabbi, ba'alti v'lo matzati dam. The Chatan told him, Rabbenu, I was bo'el and I didn't find dam. Amra lo Rabbi, adayin betula ani. She, the bride, she said, no, Rabbi, I am still a betula. Ushne batzoret hava. Now, the Gemara says that this case took place during the years of drought. There was no rain. Ra'a Rabbi shepenehem shechorim. And in fact, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi saw that their face were darkened and black due to hunger. Tziva alehem v'ichnisum la'merchatz. So Rabbeinu HaKadosh instructed his attendants to tend to them and to take them into the merchatz, into the bathhouse. Ve'echilum v'hishkum. They bathed them and they fed them. They gave them to drink. V'ichnisum la'cheder. And they took them into a room. Ba'al u'matzadam. They were together. They engaged in bi'ah. And he found dam. Which means it proved that it was because of the non-healthy situation that they were in, because of the hunger, that's why she didn't have dam before. Amar lo, Rabbi told him, lech zeche b'mikchacha, go and take possession of your acquisition. Kare Rabbi alehem, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh said upon them the pasuk in Echa Perek Dalet, tzafad oram al atzmam. Their skin is shriveled upon their bones, yavesh hayacha etz, and they became as dry as a stick, which means to indicate that because of hunger, they became dry as a stick, meaning that no blood flows from them, that can cause a lack of dam betulim when, chas v'shalom, there's a state of hunger. And now we begin the second Mishnah. The Mishnah states, betula ketubata matayim, as we quoted before from this Mishnah, for a betula, the ketubah amount is 200 zuz, the almana mane. And for a widow, the ketubah, the amount in the ketubah is 100 zuz. Betula, almana grusha v'chalutza min ha'erusin. Let's say you have a case of a betula, who she's a virgin, she happens to be a almana. How is she a almana and she's a virgin? Because she's a almana from erusin, only from kiddushin, meaning before they had the time to have nisuin and to consummate the marriage, after the kiddushin, the chatan died. So she's a almana from the erusin. So she's still a betula. Or a grusha v'chalutza min ha'erusin. Or let's say a divorcee, or a woman who chalutza, a chalitza was performed with from erusin. So she never was nisua, meaning she's still a betula. Ktubatan matayim. Her ktuba is 200 zuz, being that she's still a betula, v'yesh lahen ta'anat betulim, and in that case, there is a ta'ana, a claim of a lack of dam betulim, in that case, to say that it is a mekach ta'ut, and she loses her ktuba. So the Gemara here is going to discuss the words. It's going to be a words Gemara, beginning with the word almana. My almana, what is the meaning of the word almana? We know almana means a widow. Why is she called almana in Hebrew? Amar Rav Chana Bagdata, Rav Chana from the city of Baghdad in Babel, he says, almana al shem mane, the widow in Hebrew is called the almana after the mane that she receives. So it's like you take the word almana, you read it, ela mane. Rather only a mane, not 200 matayim, rather mane. So that's the dissection of the word almana. Asks the Gemara, almana min ha'irusin ma'ika le'meimar, but you have a widow that receives 200 zuz, as we saw in the Mishnah, the almana from erusin, who's still a betula. Why is she called almana? Well, the Gemara says, aidi deha karila almana. It's only a borrowed term, being that a widow who is normally from Nisu'in, a widow, she is called almana because of the mane. Hanami karila almana. So we borrow the term also to a widow from Erusin, although she gets 200, but she's called almana just the same. Then the Gemara asks, almana diktiva be'oraita mai'ika le'meimar. What about the word almana that is written? We find it in the Torah. Now, mina Torah, we know that the ketubah of almana does not exist. It's entirely an institution of chachamim, as we mentioned before. So the takana of chachamim to give a mane 100 to the almana for the ketubah is not midoraita. So why in the Torah is she called almana? So you know what the Gemara says here: de atidin rabbanan demitakni la mane. The Torah calls the widow almana based on the future. The fact that the chachamim in the future were going to institute the ketubah of 100, so the Torah is calling her almana in term of the future. Asks the Gemara, umi katav kra le'atid? Does the Torah talk that way? Does the Torah write words based on something that's only going to be in the future? In, yes, we do find that Dichtiv, as we see in Parashat Bereshit, Veshem HaNahar HaShelishi Chidekel, and the name of the third river that came from Gan Eden was Chidekel, Hu HaHolech Kidmat Ashur. It is the river that is Holech Kidmat Ashur. It was going towards the east of Ashur. Now, this Pasuk is written in Parashat Bereshit at the time of creation, right? And Ashur, V'tana Rav Yosef, what is Ashur? Ashur zu Saleka. Ashur is the city of Seleucia. So, Umi Havai, at the time when this was read, when this was written in the Torah, did this city exist? Didn't exist. Ela de Atida. Rather, the Torah is referring to the city because it was destined to exist in the future. So here also the Torah employs the term almana because almana was destined to have a ketubah of a maneh instituted for her by the Chachamim. Now the Gemara continues to give us some statements from Rav Chana Bagdeta and also some similar teachings regarding the etymology of certain words. The Amar Rav Chana Bagdeta, matar. Matar means rain. So he's going to tell us the advantages, the benefits of rain. Mashke, it irrigates. Marve, it saturates the earth. Umzabel, it fertilizes the land. Umeaden, it refines the fruit of the trees. Umamshich, and it even causes the fruits and the earth to proliferate, to be fruitful and to multiply. Amar Rava bar Rabbi Yishmael, Rava, the son of Rabbi Yishmael, v'itema Rav Yemar bar Shlemia. And some say it was Rav Yemar bar Shlemia. Mai kera, where do we find the pasuk that can actually allude to what Rav Chana Bagdeta just said? It's a pasuk in Tehinim. It says, Telameha Rave nahet gedudeha birvivim temogegena tzimha tevarech. Over here, David HaMelech is talking about the blessing that Hashem blesses the land of Eretz Yisrael with. And he says, Telameha Rave, please abundantly water its rows of produce. Nahet gedudeha, and settle and give nachat to its furrows. That means the rows of the crop. Birvivim temogegena, and you make it soft, please make it soft with showers of rain. Tzimcha tevarech, and bless its growth. So we see in this pasuk all the benefits that rain has and gives, as mentioned by Rav Chana Bagdeta. Similarly, Amar Rabbi Lazar says, Mizbeach, the term Mizbeach for the altar in the Beit HaMikdash is dissected as follows. Meziyach umezin, mehabev, mechaper. What is meziyach? Meziyach means it removes the averot. Umezin, and it also sustains, because as a result of the korbanot on the mizbeach, there is parnasah that is provided to all. So meziyach means it removes the averot. Mezin, it brings sustenance. Mechabev, it endears the one who brought the korban to Hashem. Mechaper, and it brings atonement. So the Gemara, now all these words come from the letters of Mizbeach. The Gemara asks, Hainu mechaper, hainu meziach. What's the difference really between mechaper, which is atonement, and meziach, which means it removes the sins? It's the same thing. The Gemara says, Meziach gezerot umchaper avonot. What it removes evil decrees, bad decrees, umchaper avonot, and it atones for the sins. Ve'amar Rav Chana Bagdeta, and Rav Chana Bagdeta taught, tamre, dates. You know, in Bavel, they have a lot of dates. In the time of the Amoraim, especially, they really subsisted on a great amount of dates in Bavel, Iraq of today. And so Rav Chana Bagdeta is going to tell us the benefits of the dates. Meshachanan, they are warm. They warm up the body. Masbe'an, they satiate. Meshalshelan, they loosen the bowels. Me'asheran, and they strengthen the body. Ve'lo mefankan, and yet they don't spoil the person, they don't pamper the person. Amar Rav, Rav says, Achal temarim al yore. If one ate dates, he cannot issue a psak halacha, because dates in those days in Bavel were actually intoxicating, almost like wine. So al yore, just like a person who drank alcohol before, should not give a psak, his mind is not thinking straight. So the same thing after eating dates. Metive, the Gemara asks on this a question. We learned, tmarim, regarding dates, shachrit ve'arvit yafot. In the morning and in the evening, they are good. They have a positive effect on the one who eats them. Bemincha, in the afternoon, ra'ot. They have a negative effect. But sahoraim, en kemotam. Exactly at noon, however, they are the best. They are unparalleled. En kemotan umvatlot shelosha devarim. And they remove three things. Machshava ra'a, a troubling thought. Let's say a person is in a sad mood. So dates can remove bad and sad thoughts from his mind. Vecholi me'ayim, and it removes intestinal illness. Vetachtoniot, and it removes hemorrhoids. So we see that there is a good effect. In fact, the primary effect of dates is positive. So what do you mean, achal temarim al yore? So the Gemara answers by saying, what's the stira? Mi amrinan delo malu? Are we saying that they're not good? Alu ye malu, they're very good. Ulefi shata tarda. However, temporarily, it causes a distraction because they intoxicate. Midi dehavi achamra, just like by wine. Wine is very good, but for a while the person is intoxicated. The Amar Mar, as we learned, Hashote revi'it yain al yore. You drink a revi'it of a luk of yain, already you cannot give a psak at that time. You have to wait until the effect comes off. Doesn't mean it's not good. Ve'i ba'itema, and if you want, we have another answer. Lo kashya. Hamikame nahama, halibatar nahama. Meaning, when we say that a person should not give a psak under the influence of dates, that's referring to the one who eats dates, mikame nahama, before he eats bread. So then, if he eats them before bread, it can lead to intoxication. Interesting. Halibatar nahama. But if a person eats them after the bread, then it's fine. Then it doesn't have that effect. The Amar Abaye, as Abaye said, Amra li em. My mother told me, Tamre, regarding dates, mikame nahama ki nargale dikula. My mother told me that dates that are eaten before you eat bread are ki nargale dikula. They are as destructive as an axe is to a palm tree. Batar nahama. But if you eat them after bread, ki abra le dasha, it's as beneficial as a lock, as a bolt to a door, which means it gives good support to the body. And now that we mentioned that the word dasha is door, dasha amarava derech sham, the word in Aramaic dasha for door is a shortening or an acrostic of the words derech sham, meaning through there. You open the door to go through it. Darga. Darga means a ladder or stairs. Amarava derech gag. It's also a word that is comprised of two. Derech gag. The way to the roof, upwards. Puria. Puria is the Aramaic word for bed. Amarav papa sheparin veravin aleha. Papa said, the word puria comes from puru urvu. It's the place where people procreate upon it, on the bed. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said, Af anu nomar aylonit. We will add another example. Aylonit, which is the sexually underdeveloped woman, is duchranit. In Aramaic, duchranit is like a ram. Delo yalda, because aylonit comes from the word ayal, like a ram, which is a male sheep. And delo yalda, because she cannot bear, the aylonit cannot bring children, just like the male sheep, the ayal.